Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's time for your listener questions, including a great question about how to handle Animal Kingdom from rope drop until the end of the night in Pandora. But first, a message from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glanced down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I'm doing the double-digit dance. That's right, 98 days to go until the Be Our Guest podcast cruise on the Disney Fantasy. And I'm scrolling through the stock photos right now. There is an awesome photo of Spaceship Earth at night. Also another one of Cinderella Castle. This app just gets me excited for my next Walt Disney World adventure. And you can do the same. So drop by virtualmickey.com today. Download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1151 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks for checking in. And, you're here for some listener questions. I hope maybe we'll even answer your question. Why not? You know, and if you have a question or a comment, send those in to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll put those in the queue. Now, it's not an interactive queue. I don't talk to you while you're waiting, and it can be a long time in our queue, unfortunately. But we will get to your questions, so send those again to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Today, joining me to answer those questions, we have the announcer guy here, but we have the expert over there. She is Pam Forrester, co-owner of The Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. I'm excited about the past few days, I've just been super excited about summer at Walt Disney World. So, I mean, there's so many big things happening. Been doing some trainings. There's been some travel agent trainings about this. And you know how when you see a Disney commercial, then you're instantly like pumped up and amped up to go? Well, the same thing kind of happens with travel agent trainings. They're so good at like making you be like, I need to be there now. And like, as I'm watching and doing the trainings and getting all this information, I'm sitting there like, when can I go? Like in the next couple weeks, is there time when I can go? Because they were that compelling. So anyway, it's just exciting stuff.
Wait, there's something going on down at Walt Disney World this summer?
I hadn't heard. Little something.
Something. Some Banshees.
All that stuff.
And some Navi and all that. All right, yeah. So we have to hold, you know, the greatest part about a new section of a theme park opening down at Walt Disney World is we're going to have a whole bunch of new acronyms and a whole bunch of new words that we're going to have to become, like our autocorrect on our mobile devices. We'll have to learn how to spell like Navi and stuff like that.
Actually, I was typing something yesterday and I was taking notes, and the word, apparently my iPad is already learning how often I will use this word. And the word is bioluminescence. I typed B-I-O and it like auto filled the rest in for me. And I'm like, you go, iPad. You learned that one quick. So yes, bioluminescence.
Is that awesome? Or is that sad that it doesn't go to something simple like biology or something, you know, that it's bioluminescence?
It knows this girl isn't talking biology. She's talking bioluminescence.
All right, well, we're talking questions. So Samantha has the first one. She says, hi, Mike. As a lifelong Disney fan from the United Kingdom and have only just discovered your podcast, and I love tuning into your show in anticipation of our anniversary trip in August. We are at Disney for a week and we'll be visiting Animal Kingdom on the 21st. We booked Tusker House for breakfast at 8:10. Hopefully, we're going to get to beat some of those Pandora crowds. But now I've just realized we need to stay in the park until closing to see Rivers of Light 2. As Animal Kingdom is such a huge and exhausting park, do you think we should go home for a break at some point in the day or just book a leisurely dinner at Animal Kingdom too? It's just myself and my husband, but us Brits are not used to being in the Florida heat all day. If you think staying for dinner, would there be a better option? What Animal Kingdom restaurant would you recommend? All the best, Sam. So Pam, this is kind of a new question that we haven't had to ever address in the past 9 years of the show. It's how to tackle Animal Kingdom if you're going to be there from rope drop, and especially now that Disney has announced how Pandora, that section of the park, will be open, I think it's until 1 a.m. for certain nights and certain length of time. That's a super long day at Animal Kingdom, which this has never been something we ever worried about. So how do you go about tackling this?
I know, right? It's usually like, what am I going to do after Animal Kingdom exactly. closes at 4 or 5 or whatever? So now we have something new to think about. And I think here's the thing about Animal Kingdom, and I've noticed this as it started staying open later and later. There are lots of things, even as a frequent Walt Disney World guest, that I haven't done at Animal Kingdom, or I haven't spent as much time exploring as I could have, let's say. I mean, all that area around the bottom of the Tree of Life, I hate to admit this, but up until a few years ago, we never did that. I mean, like maybe we did it when the park first opened and then moved along. Now, I love like the Pangani Forest Trail and the Maharaja. Gosh, you know, as we talk more and more about Animal Kingdom, there's going to be all these words like you mentioned that we're going to have to learn to pronounce correctly. So anyway.
Actually, I think they changed the names of the trails to just something simple like the Lion Trail and the Tiger Trail. Tiger Trail. Tiger Trail is my ice cream that I like. But I think they did change
it. Well, no matter what they
call
it, we'll screw it. Yeah.
The trails back in the back.
Whatever. Love those. And we've always loved them, but there's nothing better than really having time to leisurely explore those. Because you can buzz through and catch some glimpses of the animals, but if you spend some real time there, I mean, I feel like I could sit there and watch the gorillas for a good hour or so. They're so interesting and they do so many interesting things, but that's the case on both trails. So there's little things like that throughout the Animal Kingdom that I think really lend itself to being a park where you can spend a big chunk of the day there as long as you make some plans to do things like I just talked about, like do things at a very leisurely pace. Schedule in some times where you're going to sit down and really enjoy things. Like in the area where there's all those different birds, there are benches to sit on and kind of enjoy the atmosphere and do that. There are lots of shows where you'll have time to kind of get a little downtime while enjoying the show there too. So I think that's a way that you can really extend that day at the Animal Kingdom and not completely exhaust yourself. Because if I'm staying there till 1 a.m., if I'm an on-site guest, you know, that's a huge day. That's really a big day. And I think that it's a perfect recommendation to plan a very leisurely dinner. And there's a couple good places to do that. Tiffin's, of course, would be a great place to do that. And the other thing that makes that a big bonus in terms of seeing the Rivers of Light is you can reserve the Rivers of Light dining package. And therefore, you get great seats and you also get a great dinner at Tiffin's. And you can also do that at Chusiker House. So there's a lot of good choices there for dining. And I think that's a great way to break up the day, too.
Yeah, personally, I wouldn't stay in the Animal Kingdom all day long just because it's August and it's, you know, that's a big park. And that park wears me out like nothing else because you're kind of, you know, it's not flat like the Magic Kingdom. There's hills, there's, you know, arched bridges, there's, you know, the pavement's not as smooth. And that does kind of wear on your body a little as you're walking through there. I would still go early, you know, duck out maybe at 12 or 1 o'clock because it's August, it's hot. Enjoy that pool at your hotel, take a nap, come back, you know, say around supper time, have dinner there, and enjoy the night activities at the Animal Kingdom. That's how I go about it. But if you want to stay all day, Pam gave some great suggestions. I would make sure that you also see things like Finding Nemo the musical, the Festival of the Lion King, go see, like you said, the bird show. And I would even have a sit-down lunch, you know, somewhere where it's air-conditioned because it's hot, especially if you're from the UK in August. You know, maybe have lunch somewhere like, I would say, like Yak and Yeti. Go upstairs, you know, have a meal there. I like that food. And it's not terribly expensive. So that'd be my tips. But let us know how you go about it, Sam. And we'd love to hear what happens. All right, next question. We're heading to another exotic place called Indiana. And it's Missy. She says, "Hi, gang. You have quickly become my favorite Disney podcast when educating myself in all things Disney." So how's that, Pam? We're educating all things Disney.
I'll take credit for that, although I'm not quite sure I can. We can.
We try.
But let's go ahead. You know, we can take credit for the good and the bad.
All right. Here's a long question, it looks like. But here we go. Our family of four is making our third trip to Disney World the first week of October for 5 nights, and we're staying at the Polynesian. Our son is 11 and daughter is 8. Since our son is not a big eater, but by Disney standards, he is an adult on the dining plan, I'm wondering which dining plan to choose, if any. If we don't do the dining plan, Can he still eat off the kids' menu? Right now, our itinerary has us with 5 table service meals, one being the Spirit of Aloha for double credits. Thoughts? Thanks so much, Missy. All right, so it's a family of 4, 11-year-old son, daughter who's 8. The son sounds like he's a picky eater, you know, kind of like I've grown up with in this family. So they're trying to decide, you know, quick service dining, table service dining, or no dining. What do you think for a situation like this? What's your best advice?
So I really need to know a little more about the other locations that they're going to, whether or not to advise getting the dining plan. But here are some things that are general rules that can apply to everyone. Look at your character meals. Are you doing a lot of character meals? Because whether you eat 1 chicken nugget or 500 chicken nuggets,
the
price
is still the
same.
It's a great financial deal, not so good for your cholesterol, just say.
Exactly. Macaroni and cheese for everybody. But anyways, so those are the kind of things that I really have guests look at. The other thing is, what is the makeup of the rest of your party? If you have anyone else who is considered a child, the dining plan typically works out for you because it's so inexpensive for children versus the cost of any character meal. So again, that's something to think of. And here's one more thing to think of. Just because your child is on the dining plan doesn't mean that you can't choose to bank those credits basically and use them for yourselves while paying out of pocket for whatever your child will eat when they're at a restaurant. And I think that's a strategy that can work for a lot of people. Let's say you're going to Kona and you know that your child's only going to eat pot stickers. Order them the appetizer of pot stickers. Hold on to that credit for, you said you were going to go to the Spirit of Aloha dining plan. Yeah. So, I mean, do that. I mean, that's something that might work for you too. But here's the other thing. Plug it in, kind of look at the price of the menu and make sure that it works for you, because that's how you really know whether the dining plan will work or not.
Yeah, we did that many times when we were on the dining plan with Paige. We would just, like, she would get fries, you know, or she would get something off the appetizer menu, and it was like $7 or $8. I'm like, well, you know, why waste a credit, you know, because we could order you the entree and the, you know, all that stuff at the time, but, you know, we kept those, and that's how we justified on the standard, on the plus dining, going to something like a Hoop-Dee-Doo or Spirit of Aloha, something like that. So good tip. So yeah, and the child who's 8, though, you're getting a bargain on that. So it is kind of a tough call, but check out the menus over on the Mouse for Less. They do have prices. You know, you're only going to be there for like 5 or 6, you know, meals. So it's pretty easy to type those into a calculator, do some running of what you think everybody's going to get, and make a good choice, because we don't want you to waste any money. But also, it's nice having that prepaid. I can tell you that, man. The dining plan, it reminds me of a cruise. You know, most of your dining is prepaid, so you don't have to worry about the prices on the menu. That's what I like the best about it, is you just kind of order what you want as far as what looks good, rather than, well, if I get this cut of a steak, it's $10 cheaper. You know, like I get into that now because I don't typically have the dining plan, so... that's what I miss. All right, Keisha's got the next question, and she sent it from Keisha's iPhone. Oh, but she was also in Paradise, Texas. Sounds like the place to be.
Wow, it's like Paradise, Texas. I like that.
I know, I'm saying. This isn't Paradise, Missouri, I can tell you that. Anyway, she says, "Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've been a listener for about a year now, and my husband and I are fairly new to the running team. Go Lizards. Well, welcome to the squad. We love the show, so I had to know what y'all think about these rumors I've been reading this week about Apple buying Disney. I'm a huge Disney and Apple fangirl, but I just can't imagine the two combining and being a good thing. I'm curious what your all's thoughts are on this. Thanks, Keisha." So that has been in the news a little bit, because Apple is the, from what I have read and heard on various podcasts and in the news, is that Apple is the most valuable company as far as cash on hand in the world currently. And they could actually buy Disney with their cash on hand, which is just incredible considering the scope of a company like Disney. Now, Disney and Apple have a history there, because, you know, Iger is on, I believe, the board of directors for Apple. Jobs owned Pixar. There's a lot of interplay between the two companies. But Pam, what would you, because, you know, way back in the day, wasn't it Comcast was trying to buy, or not trying to buy, but kind of a hostile takeover of Disney? I mean, there's been a lot of this. But what about an Apple Disney combined company? What do you think?
So it's interesting. I mean, I you know, at first I think any Disney fan is, when they hear about anyone buying Disney, you're kind of like, right? I mean, that's the first initial reaction, because I think everyone thinks of Disney as sort of this family-owned and run company, which is just really not the case any longer. And good or bad, right? I think that there are plus and minuses to that kind of philosophy and that way of running a business, especially in today's world. So something to think about. When I started thinking about this after I initially did the, I thought about, what if, having Apple there would mean that John Lasseter was able to take a larger role in the company. He's already, I believe, head Imagineer or something like that, right? In the Disney company is his official title. But what if they really valued that, what he brings to the table and that creativity as part of running the company? Because again, he was involved with Pixar and part of that whole system. So I really think that's something that could be interesting. I also think that there's Apple shows a kind of innovation. And while that's something that's present in so many companies, it's something that really Apple is known for, making consumer-friendly products, marketing them. They are successful in that space. They aren't looking to sell the most of a product, but instead they, make the most money for the company. So I think that's a philosophy that could work and integrate within the Disney system. I just, it's hard to know what to think, right? I would hate to see anything that we love about Disney change, those core values, but maybe some would argue that they have changed already. So I don't know. It's so hard, so hard to know what to do.
Yeah, I would like to keep them, honestly, apart if I could. But if, a partnership had to be made because of, trying to keep one or the other afloat, which I can't imagine, because both companies are just burning hot right now. I mean, they're going, gangbusters. And like you mentioned, Pam, there's a lot of parallels between the two companies. And if you know me, I'm a huge Apple fan and a bigger Disney fan. So those are two of my favorite companies. I'm reading the questions right now off a MacBook. So, I can tell you that, like you mentioned with the innovation, kind of the philosophies of the company are very similar, where you mentioned like with the iPhone for Apple, for example, their number one product, they're not making that to make the most. There's more Android phones in the world than iPhones, but they make the most profit on that phone. Yep. They kill everybody else in profit per unit, where Disney has adopted that lately, like it or not. The crowds have been slightly down, I believe, by like 1% over the past year, but revenue has gone up. So they're making, it's the same thing. They're making more profit per guest. So it's one of those things. They're also with things like this, and there's a lot of parallels too. I mean, I could do this all day, but they're not always the first to the market with a product. Like there were lots of cell phones before the iPhone, but they got it right. They made it very consumer friendly. They made it so that everybody would want one. It was the hot item. Disney's kind of the same way. Think about it. They're not usually the first to the market with a new kind of an experience, but by the time they bring it around, it's something everybody wants to be a part of. So, they are first with some things, but a lot of things are kind of waiting and seeing how they can take that and how can we make this plus the guest experience? Because a lot of times the first or the second to market kind of take the bullets, and then you kind of see, okay, we got to make sure we fix this, this, and this. Okay, now we've got a great product. I mean, Pam, do you see those kind of things too? Because I think, that's what kind of Apple's philosophy is, not first to the market, but kind of refine what's been out there for, a little bit, and let's make it really, really what the public wants. And I think Disney's kind of followed that in the last 5 years too.
Yeah, they absolutely have. I mean, I always say that one thing that Disney is really great at is releasing something, then surveying the heck out of everyone who experiences that, and then being able to adapt to that feedback or address that feedback. And I think that that's something that Disney has and will continue to do really well. It's also something that Apple can do well. Apple really considers the experiences of the person using their product. I mean, that's something that they're very in touch with. It's a very intuitive product, and that's why it's been so successful. And I think that those are definitely those core beliefs of both companies could fit together well. I don't know that it will happen. It's fun to dream about it, just to think about, well, what would happen if that did, but I'm not sure if it will.
Yeah, I'd much rather, you know, Apple take our partnership, you know, or buy Disney than like Sears or Macy's, you know. Probably not a good idea.
Especially not Sears since they're doing so bad.
I might have more in my wallet than Sears does right now. That's not much. Right. Anyway, all right, let's get to the next one. That's a good question. I like that. I'm sure Dr. Kai down in Arkansas loved that talk. He's kind of like me. All right, Nick's got the next question. It's Mike and ladies, greetings again from Southwest Ohio. I have been an avid listener for over a year now, and seems that the more I listen to the show, the more I look forward not only to hearing the show, but also going down to Walt Disney World. Well, see, Nick's got that same problem you did. You did some training. You're fired up to get on a plane. You know, I think Nick listens to our show. Hey, Southwest, did I get a ding fare? Do they even do ding fares anymore? I don't think they do.
I don't know. I've never really used them. I just, like, look at the site constantly to see what's happening.
I used to get those ding things all the time because I thought it was fun. But, like, I wasn't flying back then. I was like, oh, man, I could go down cheap if I'd actually get on an airplane. Anyway, I wanted to see if you guys could help me out with a situation that my wife and I are in for an upcoming trip down to Walt Disney World. Every trip that we have taken thus far has been package deals, and we always get the trip insurance. So this October, we'll be going down to Walt Disney World for Wine and Dine and to celebrate our 10th year anniversary. We decided to splurge, and we're trying to rent DVC points to stay in a deluxe resort. The particular site that we're doing this does not deal with travel insurance, but highly advises that we get it. Very overwhelmed and confused. I Googled travel insurance and a million options come up. I wanted to know if you guys have any particular companies or anything to specifically look out for when purchasing travel insurance for our trip. Every other time it was just an add-on with the trip and did not pay much attention to the company or the details because I did have a travel agent to contact with the details. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for all you do. Every show, I look forward to it. And it gives me my weekly Disney fix. Thanks, Nick. And he's in Cincinnati. All right, so we're going to take live calls here in just a minute. No, just kidding. So I understand. It's a busy time. No, but it's a crazy week. So Nick's asking about that travel insurance. So for folks that don't know, with Disney, you can add on the travel insurance to a Disney package. Now, a package is a room plus tickets and or dining. And you can add that on for currently, I believe it's $77.50 per adult, and the kids are free in the room. But you cannot do that on a room-only reservation just because the cancellation policies are much more lenient on a room-only. But he's in a situation where he's trying to rent DVC, but it's kind of that same situation. So, Pam, what would you tell Nick? Because he's really confused about travel insurance. So what's some kind of general tips for getting insurance?
Well, so I will give general tips, and they'll be very general, because here in the great state of Pennsylvania, actually we're a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we are not allowed to give travel advice.
Ooh, dude, am I going to jail? Oh, take that back. If someone knocks on the door, I'll be gone. Sorry.
No travel insurance advice without a license, believe it or not. So anyways.
Hang on, somebody's at the door.
Go ahead. That's why they were calling earlier.
That's it. They're like, he's going to talk about insurance. Get him.
Get him off the air. So what I typically suggest for guests who are not purchasing the insurance directly through Disney is to look at a company like Insure My Trip. And they'll be able to, you know, compare different policies. I honestly have no idea how it works with renting points. I don't know that that's something that would be covered or not, and that's something that you would have to address specifically with them. It's a really kind of unique situation, and it's a rental as opposed to a vacation package or a vacation, you know, trip like that. It's between, you know, two individuals, so not something that's, you know, what you typically think of, but look at Insure My Trip and see if they have any kind of suggestions.
Good tip. All right, next question. We're going above the 49th parallel. We're heading up to New Brunswick, Canada for Jeff. And he says, hi, BOGP crew. Found the podcast last summer and really enjoy it. Of all the Disney podcasts I listen to, I would have to say that you guys have the best listener question segment of all the Disney podcasts I listen to. So I know I can trust you to answer this one. Well, you know what? We have the best listener questions because we have the best listeners. You guys rock.
That's for sure.
I don't read them very well, but you guys write them in really well. So anyway, he says, I'm a Canadian and our ticket options still seem to be the old water parks fun and more option. Can you clarify how this works? I think if you buy a 4-day ticket with this option, you get 4 days in the theme parks plus 4 admissions to water parks, mini golf, etc. So potentially 8 days of fun. Is this correct? Or If I go to a water park, do I lose a theme park day? This wouldn't make sense, but the Disney website is not entirely clear. Thanks for all the fun. I know. Tell me about that. Thanks for all the fun, Jeff. So, Pam, you've talked about this on the podcast quite a few times, and this is kind of one of the, you know, here in the States now, at least, it's called the Park Hopper Plus. They've changed it recently. But this is a way to kind of, if you're going to stay on site and you're looking for a longer stay, you can kind of get it a little, you know, you can save some money here as long as you're willing to consider the water parks as kind of part of the overall Disney experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And just this year, earlier this year, Disney actually made a change to this, which makes this new add-on that's not called the Water Parks Fun and More, but will be forever ingrained in my brain as Water Parks Fun and More, that makes this even more affordable. So you're absolutely right. If you buy a four-day ticket and you buy it with the option to visit the water parks, you will have an additional 4 days of visits to the water parks. And that's a huge, huge value in that space. And the great news is, because you can't buy that option to visit the water parks anymore, just by itself, you have to buy a Park Hopper Pass. It only costs, are you ready for this, Mike?
I'm ready.
$15 Holy to upgrade. Cow. Right?
They're begging you to go there.
They really are. So that's a really cool thing to just consider. The Park Hopper is a flat rate. If it's, you know, if you're looking at a 2 or 3 day multi-day ticket, you can add the Park Hopper for $60, or if it's 4 to 10 days, you can add it for $75. Then add another $15 on that to get the water parks, and that's a bargain.
That's a real bargain, especially if you're going in the warmer times of year. Because the parks, especially like summer, because the parks are open so late, the theme parks, that you could go to the water park for 6 hours and still have plenty of time, even that day in the theme parks, to have a good time.
Yeah, it is. And just like it was said in the question, if you have 4 days in the regular parks and 4 days of water parks, that means you have 8 days of admission into various parks. And as long as you use that within 14 days of the first use, again, another big bargain. So just think about that and consider that option. I think the water park option makes more sense than ever before. And it's really something that hasn't been, no one has really shown a spotlight really on this issue, but it's a great, great upgrade for so little money and can give you so much.
Yep. You got Misadventure Falls just opened last month, actually earlier this month over at Typhoon Lagoon. And, both Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon are full day experiences. Usually they open about 10 and close at about 7. But, I think it's best with this kind of a situation where you're buying the option for an extra $15. I don't like to be at a water park more than maybe 4 hours. They kind of wear me out. You're out in the sun, you're in the water, you kind of get tired a lot quicker. But it's a great option to do that. Maybe go over to Disney Springs that night or go to a theme park that night. You got a Park Hopper. But like you said, if you're just trying to go 8 days with only 4 days of theme park tickets, you can totally make that work. Combine that with a resort hopping day, combine that with Disney Springs. Lots of options there to kind of really reduce the cost, but still have lots of fun and lots of things to do. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
That's a great option.
All right, Greg has the next question. He is in Ortley Beach, New Jersey. Hi, all. I have a question about the annual pass holder entrance at the parks at Walt Disney World. There will be a total of 8 of us going in mid-May, and only 3 of us have annual passes. Will we be able to use the special line or no? Thanks in advance. Pam, what say you? Can 3 get in for 8?
No, it's really restricted to those who have an annual pass. And I will tell you, I hate to burst anyone's bubble here, but
it's not faster.
No, it's not faster.
Not
at
usually,
all
not because, usually.
And in part because of one of the things that you mentioned, not that I think you're trying to get away with anything or do anything shady. You're actually asking the rules, but this happens so often that there are annual pass people who don't have an annual pass get in that line. Then they get up there, try to do it. The cast member redirects them to a different line. It takes longer. And there's a lot of annual pass holders. So actually, we found that the other lines are much faster. Just saying.
You know what they need to get? It's like a big bullhorn. And when you go through there and you don't have an annual pass, they just call you out. That way you at least think about getting in that line without an annual pass.
Here's what I would like. If the sound that you're, when you, the credit cards with the chip now, The sound that it makes when you're supposed to move your car, that's a horrible sound. Yeah, if it would at least make that sound when you got up there, if you didn't have an annual pass, that would be nice. So,
yeah, something. Anyway. Yeah, we're not against calling people out, you know, if it makes the line go faster.
Make them wear a sign.
Because you know what? I get the wrong lines all the time. I'd be called out. I'd be like, what? Wait, I didn't know it was an annual pass line.
Mike Robin again.
Yeah, get out of here. I think you're a big famous podcaster. It's a podcast. It's not a radio show. Anyway, Melissa's got the next question. She's also in New Jersey. She's in Hamilton, New Jersey. Hello, thanks so much for the podcast. I've only been listening for 3 weeks and already got great advice on ADRs and resort hopping. We're going in July and have scheduled a shopping day. Short and sweet, can I use my Magic Band to pay at all retail shops, not just the Disney shops and restaurants, and pay it off later with cash or Disney gift cards at the hotel at checkout? I've looked it up and keep reading different things, mostly outdated posts. Anyways, your answer or insight is greatly appreciated. I wish we could go at a different time, but this Jersey teacher is forced to choose between Jersey Week and summer. One more quick question. If you had to pick one, breakfast at Chef Mickey's or Trattoria Al Forno? I have a 2 and 4-year-old, husband, and nanny friend in tow. Thanks so much, Melissa. All right, Pam, so let's tackle our first question first. Can you use the Magic Band to charge back to the room everywhere at Disney Springs?
No.
Because I'm not sure. I don't think you can, but I was trying to think where you couldn't.
I know. That's what I was too. Like, I know I encountered this, but I cannot remember where.
I'm trying to think, like, maybe like that purse store. Is it Vera Bradley and like the UGG stores and things like that? I mean, maybe they would take them. I would just ask, but maybe they would. I know the restaurants all do.
The restaurants do. I've never had any problem with that. But I don't know that all the stores do. And I'm sorry we don't have better intel on this, but I will tell you, they're opening up new stores all the time.
Yeah, they
and
are.
We haven't had enough chances to visit them all, I'm just going to say. So
yeah, anyways. So you know, we'll put that on the Facebook group today because people are down there every day that listen to the show. So
for sure.
We'll kind of crowdsource this and get you some very, very current information as of today. So if you don't mind, drop out the Facebook group here on your Wednesday. Let us know if they're, if you know of any stores that do not take a Magic Band where you could go back and charge to the room, pay that off with Disney Chris gift cards or cash later on. All right, so real quick, our second question. 2 and a 4-year-old, breakfast at Chef Mickey's or Trattoria El Forno? I'm saying Chef Mickey's. For 4 and 2-year-olds, you really can't go wrong there. What do you think?
Gosh, that's a tough one. I think that Chef Mickey's would be great, especially because you get to see the main mouse, and I think that's what most kids want to see. But honestly, I know that this is going to be an exercise in futility, but maybe ask the children who they're really looking forward to see. And if it's not Mickey and Minnie and Donald, well, not Donald, but Goofy and Chip and Dale, then I love the idea of those new characters over at Trattoria El Forno, and the food's really good too. So something to consider.
Yeah. The safe bet, Chef Mickey's, but I love the food at Trattoria. Whew, so
I know.
Good. So good. But I mean, you know, breakfast pizza, you know, Chef Mickey's can't go wrong. Well, actually, they have that at Trattoria Al Forno, too. But
yeah, they do.
It's more kid, you know, it's more kid friendly at Chef Mickey's, though.
It is. And there will be lots of kids and napkin wavings and all of that. So just be prepared for noise and a little bit of chaos. But hey, what's a vacation without a little bit of chaos?
Got that right. Well, you know, you got a 4 to 2-year-old. There's going to be chaos probably before you even get on Magical Express.
That's true.
Are you kidding me? That sounds like as much as
I'm walking out the door.
Exactly. As much as I love Walt Disney World, I help people plan trips. I go there multiple times a year. There is never a day without chaos on a Disney vacation. You know what? You just got to grin and bear it and just say that's part of the experience, really. I mean, because everybody's out of the routines. People aren't taking naps. People get hangry. That's usually me. And, you know, you're marching yourself like, you know, I usually don't walk, you know, from here to my car, and I'm going to try to walk 15 miles today. You know, it just doesn't work usually for a lot of people. You figure it out along the way. All right, John's got the last question of the day. He is a friend here in St. Louis, former radio guy. Hi, Mike. With Pop undergoing this big refurb, I know some of the rooms will be out of commission while we're there. If we're booked in a preferred room, and he says he's booked in a preferred room at that time, if the number of preferred reservations doesn't match the number of preferred rooms available, what happens? If we are moved to a room at a lower price point, is there a refund or a gift card of some sort? Thanks, John. So, Pam, what do you think about this? So we know that, you know, they're doing some hard goods refurbishments at Pop Century, but what they usually do is they'll take down you know, like a hallway at a time in a certain building so that they keep the guest experience high. Nobody's around the noise. They do not work early in the mornings or late at night. It's during the day when most people are out of the resort. But do they ever do that where they'll oversell like the preferred rooms and then take some of the preferred rooms out of the inventory? Does that ever happen?
It's very rare that they oversell a preferred view room. I think it's actually much more common that you would be upgraded to a preferred view room.
Yeah.
You know, in that case. But if you were ever put in a room that wasn't at least the category that you reserved, then there would be a credit for sure. I mean, Disney would make good on that for, you know, that's not an issue. But they very rarely do that for those in those kind of circumstances. So they keep kind of a tight in terms of inventory control on, you know, the rooms that have particular views. You know, when you think about it, every resort has rooms that have particular views. When you're at the Polynesian, you have that theme park view, which of course is monitored very closely. And also at some of the other monorail resorts, they have those rooms. But think about over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, where they have Savannah view rooms and standard rooms, as well as pool view rooms. I mean, there's just so many varying categories that it actually kind of gives me a headache to think about managing all of that from a perspective. I'm picturing people with like Excel sheets, yes, and whatnot, right? So Disney inventory control is, well, I'm sure would be an interesting place to work. But yeah, they usually do a pretty good job of it. And you're more likely to be upgraded than downgraded for sure.
Yeah, you're most likely going to end up right there in that preferred room, because they're not going to take that many out that they have guests coming in. But it, like Pam said, you'll either get a credit if that were to happen, or I've even heard of people, you know, them offering, you know, would you be interested in staying at Port Orleans Riverside? You know, something like that. You know, it's not a huge upgrade, but it goes from a value to a moderate. Because maybe,
and if you get asked that question,
say
you
yes.
Say, "Why, yes, I would."
Exactly, because I mean, it has happened. So you know, that's
play
that's
cool fun. Though. Yeah, don't like, be too anxious.
I'd be like, you know, yeah, that maybe, but you know, what do you got at Grand Floridian? You know, anything there?
Anything in the concierge level anywhere?
Exactly, like, that's what. I'm staying concierge here at Pop Century, so can you match that over at the Contemporary?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's fun. All right. Well, thanks so much for the questions. Again, send them in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get those on the air here very soon. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And Ricky's not here, and we're going to address that. I've gotten a couple questions this week about Ricky's whereabouts, and we'll talk about that on Friday. But she always had the news for us as far as what is happening this week. There's a lot happening, so we're going to talk about that on Friday's podcast. But irregardless, keep up with everything happening in the Disney universe, whether it's the theme parks, the movies, what have you, everything. And it's better than reading the cereal box. So you need Theme Park News Disney Edition. Best thing is, it's a free iOS app. It makes your Apple device a Disney device. So grab this app, grab Days to Go, WDW, and countdown to your next great Disney adventure. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. I want to send a huge shout out to everybody who is using our Amazon affiliate link. You guys have been supporting the show so much. I really appreciate that. That's helping us pay the bills for the podcast, and it's tremendous. It doesn't cost you anything extra when you're shopping on Amazon, but when you click on brguestpodcast.com/Amazon to get to the site, that really does help us out. So if you wouldn't mind, bookmark that on your computer whenever you do some shopping. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We thank you so much for using our affiliate link. Please give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And I also want to plug the Magic for Less's Facebook page. We've got some great content over there this week as well. So drop by the Magic for Less on Facebook. Some great stuff to get you fired up for your next Disney vacation there as well. All right, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your midweek. We will be back again on Friday talking some news. We love talking news, and the best part about talking news is that it's always out of date by the time the show goes live, because Disney changes it on us.
Count on it.
We cause things to happen, I'm telling you. As soon as we record and publish it, it all changes. But anyway, we'll be talking about that on Friday. So thanks so much for downloading the show. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.